Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Thanks to Michael Collins, ESPN golf analyst, for joining us there. Mark Spears, NBA insider and columnist at The Undefeated, will join us in about 10 minutes. So stick around for that. He'll be giving us the Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, no contracts, runs on America's best network, same as the big carriers. Save me up to 50%, $45 a month, gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G. Straight Talk Wireless, no contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. All right, so here's the deal. Greg Popovich, I want to get to Major League Baseball and where they're at in a second, because I do think, despite the bickering, they're in a situation that is going to end up being fine, if I had to guess, okay? And look, it's just an educated guess. I'm not sitting here trying to tell you that I know exactly what the hell is going on, but I've been through these before. This isn't the first rodeo for me when it comes to a standoff in Major League Baseball or in general, right? Labor disputes in sports have happened more frequently over the last several years than maybe any time ever, really, to be honest with you. But so I'll get to that in a second. But Greg Popovich, and I know Laker fans, you're listening, Greg Popovich, Spurs. But the one thing is, you can respect the man. You can respect him for winning his 5 championships. You can respect him for being one of the, you know, top 5 coaches in the history of the sport. You can respect him because he's a military man, and he deserves our respect on a number of different fronts, and he's never shy about how he feels. And he has not been shy about how he feels about the president of the United States. And here is the quote yesterday in The Athletic. He says, quote, "He's not just divisive. He's a destroyer. To be in his presence makes you die. He will eat you alive for his own purposes. I'm appalled that we have a leader who can't say Black Lives Matter. That's why he hides in the White House basement. He's a coward. He creates a situation and runs away like a grade schooler. Actually, I think it's best to ignore him. There is nothing he can do to make this better because of who he is, a deranged idiot." Now, look, this is America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, right? And we are dealing with stuff that I have never seen in my lifetime, and I have lived through riots, okay? I have lived through riots where I grew up multiple times, and this is different. It's different for the reasons we've outlined over the last 2 days. It's different because this isn't just the African-American community coming to protest. This is white people. This is black people. This is Hispanic people. This is Asian people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Pacific Islander, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's encouraging. And I know that people don't want to hear this sometimes. I know there are going to be people who are closed-minded to all this stuff. Like, that's just the reality of it. Some of you have already tuned me out. You're switched over to Colin Cowherd because he's talking about Dak Prescott for the 7,000th time in the last week. Okay? But you know what? If you don't want to hear it, that's your problem. But I'm telling you this. I am a freaking proud American citizen. I grew up. I was born in this country. My parents are exiles. They are immigrants. They left a dictatorship to give me a better life. And I'll tell you this, what I witnessed yesterday, where you have the right to assemble in this damn country and peacefully protest, and all of a sudden, like it was a TV show and scripted, a peaceful protest, which, by the way, included people from the clergy, from the church next door, were pushed aside, gassed, and created a violent situation. All for a photo opportunity. And I'll tell you this. I called my 80-year-old mother, who was having PTSD at that moment, because she lived that. She lived through something like that and fled oppression. That's not the America I know. And if I get in trouble for saying this, so be it. That's not the America I know. Freedom of expression, right to assemble. It's in the damn Constitution. That's not the America I recognize. America has the potential of being the greatest country in the world. We've yet to see it. Not now. Not in the 244 years. We've come close a few times. We've seen glimpses of it. But yesterday, we've had a sad week in this country based on what's transpired. The new week, the new work week, started off just as sad. And there's no debate about that. I don't care who you support. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. We need to all stand up for the Constitution of this country and not make a mockery of it. There's no easy transition to get to baseball, okay? I'm sorry. But I needed to get that off my chest because I was never more angry yesterday. I was pretty angry all week, pretty sad all week leading up to this start of the week. And I thought to myself, you know, we can hopefully start to heal. That was my hope. And then I saw that, and I said, there's no chance we're healing anytime soon. This country needs to be together. And I think we here at this radio station, I think the people in sports, whether you're an owner or a player, need to do our part. People who have influence need to do their part. It's our lives, man. We're supposed to be in this thing together. What do you think the rest of the world's looking at right now? Appalled. I know I am. We need to help our black brothers and sisters. And we're doing a pretty good job of it in these protests. And we need to, as a media, root out all the nonsense. And this is what I mean by that. The people who are taking advantage of this situation. The people who are out there, who are coming in there, who are just rabble-rousers from these hate groups who are trying to take over what this is supposed to be about. Don't let them do that. And the media has a job. I know that some of these videos can be captivating, but do better. Show the peaceful protests. I'm not saying not to show the truth. I'm saying show the 99% of these people who are doing this thing the right way. Oh, the hell with it. We'll get to baseball at 11:30. Mark Spears, NBA insider and columnist of The Undefeated, who spoke to Devin George, former Laker, who's doing some really smart, thoughtful things during this time. We'll talk to him in 3 minutes. Sit down over here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road or on the water. See how much you could save in as little as 3 minutes by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or progressive.com. Mark Spears of The Undefeated, NBA insider, will join us here in just a moment, giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Let me know when Mark's on, and we can chat with him. He spoke to Devin George recently and Steven Jackson. Look, guys, I know that there's people all bent out of shape because of the last segment. You know, that's fine. I don't care. But what I would say to you is this. This isn't a political issue. This is about humanity. And what I saw yesterday on television, that wasn't humane. Okay? So anyway, Mark Spears, my friend, joins us now here, columnist of The Undefeated, NBA insider. Mark, I got a lot of things I want to talk to you about, but you've had two very interesting conversations recently that have been posted on The Undefeated. One is with Steven Jackson, who is very much involved in the George Floyd situation, knowing him personally, and Devin George, who also has some ties to George Floyd in Minneapolis and obviously ties here to LA as well. Let's start with Devin George and that conversation. I know you and I've talked about it off the air and even on the air and other places too, but How would you best describe Devin George's association with just the African American community, whether it's here in LA or in Minneapolis?
Well, I guess under the circumstances of the tragedy of George Floyd, let's go to Minneapolis. I know he loves LA and was instrumental as a Laker in doing things in Watts and South Central, but he's from Minneapolis. He has businesses in Minneapolis. He lives half the year there, the other half the year in Sacramento. The former Laker, actually, though, in some of his buildings in North Minneapolis, he put photos, pamphlets of basically, hey, this is the company, his company owns these buildings, and it had his picture hugging Kobe Bryant. And he said those pictures have been instrumental in keeping his, and this is as of a couple days ago, keeping his businesses from not being damaged or burned or graffitied on. He said they've been safe, and but he's in pain because he's met George Floyd. He's been in that corner. He's black. This is something that didn't start with George Floyd that I think a lot of people got to realize. I keep getting these calls like, how are you doing? I'm like, from people that aren't black, like, how are you doing? Like, this has been something I've been dealing with since I took my first breath. You know, this is something that black people have been dealing with for 400 years. So to my white brothers and sisters or non-blacks that are, you know, about it now, like, keep that fire. Keep yelling with us. Better late than never, right? Thank you for wanting to be a part of this movement. And do I wish it was earlier? Sure. Do I wish it was when Rodney King happened? Do I wish it was before I was born in the 60s? Yes, but better late than never.
I love that Kobe is still playing first team all defense, even from above. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was interesting that he used Kobe in the picture. But I think actually George, Devin George told me that it was his popularity being a three-time champion with the Lakers, having played with Kobe and Shaq, that I actually think not only helped open a lot of doors for him in terms of the real estate and business world in Minneapolis, but also when he talked to kids, they listened a little harder. They paid attention more. Not only was he an NBA player, but he would play with some legends. And so when he walked into a classroom, their ears certainly peaked.
Mark Spears joining us here, columnist at The Undefeated, NBA insider. We'll chat with him about a number of different things. Now, you've also had a recent conversation with Steven Jackson, who until recently, I didn't know about his connection with George Floyd. He has been kind of front and center when it comes to a lot of this right now, particularly in Minneapolis. What were your conversations like with Steven?
Yeah, you know, Steve, like, lives in Atlanta full time, but ever since his friend George Floyd was tragically murdered, he's been in Minneapolis fighting the cause, being a part of this movement, and I don't know when he's going to go back home. He made a point to say that he loves everybody, that there are people from every race that he's told to their face that he loves them, and he hopes that the world is the same one day. He hasn't had time to mourn. Perhaps he does at the funeral on Thursday, but he hasn't had time because he's been moving so much, doing countless interviews, doing speeches, being present where he needs to be present. But I could tell he's certainly in a lot of pain. He took a lot of, you could see him take a deep breath during our interview when the new autopsy report came out and the findings of that as opposed to the first autopsy report. So he's dealing with a lot now, and he's a father who's had to talk to his sons and daughters about it. And he certainly is deserving of a lot of prayers and a lot of praise, because I think in terms of celebrities, he'll probably be the face of it going forward.
Mark Spears, The Undefeated, check out his work there, those two conversations with Devin George and with Steven Jackson. Real quick, Mark, because I know you got to run here soon. I want to ask you quickly on the latest on the NBA before we let you go. There is, it looks like 22 teams is going to be the way it goes. It may be ratified by Thursday, but there's been some reporting about maybe some pushback from some of the smaller market teams wanting to include all 30. Where are you on all of that? And like, just how do you feel about the way it's all being played out at the moment?
You know, it's funny, man. Every day, George, it's a new one. It's a new scenario, man. Yeah. Next week will just be, oh, we're just going to have a Final Four. You know, it just seems like it's fluid and it changes daily. To me, less is more. The less teams that are there, the less chance of people getting sick. And we're not even guaranteed that somebody can't get sick or that somebody can't die. It's a really, like, scary situation, which I believe is a big reason why the NBA has pushed it back as far as they can, because I think they want to have the best technology possible before launching everything. I'm hearing they're even, like, looking at stuff that they could put on the court that perhaps can lead to less germs or, you know, viruses and whatnot. So they're trying to get the newest, latest technology for this. And I think in the end, somebody's going to be upset, and that's okay. To me, I think it's best to just go 16. Honestly, you need like 70 games in order to make sure you get all your money from the sponsors that you have, but under the circumstances, man, I hope the thing is, look, let's be healthy. Let's keep it small. Let's make it NBA Survivor where, all right, once you get knocked out, you're off to Disney Island, man. You can go to Disneyland, but you got to go to get the hell out of here. and get it over with as soon as possible. Making it with 30 teams, even 22 teams, I think it's going to drag on perhaps for 2.5 to 3 months if you still want to do best of seven series. So less is more, quicker is better to me.
Yeah, I'm with you wholeheartedly on that. And I'm also, I would have done 20 teams and I would have just seeded everybody 1 through 16. And I know the owners and the GMs weren't necessarily cool on the 1 through 16. They wanted each conference. And I could understand that. But look, man. We had Dave Roberts on, the Dodgers manager, about a month ago, and we were talking to him about baseball at that time. And, you know, there was a lot of unknowns. I mean, we weren't at this situation where they were negotiating already. But he was like, yo, let's just get crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a weird time. Let's get weird, you know? And I'm with the NBA. Yeah. I wish the NBA would get a little more weird, to be honest with you.
Well, it is a little easier for baseball to be weird when they haven't started, you know?
Right. It's fair.
I do think there's a quiet... hey, let's try to get Zion in this.
But do you blame them? Because I don't.
If the Pelicans didn't have a chance, if I'm Memphis, I'm mad right now. Like, mm-hmm. Yo, man, why y'all trying to get us knocked out? Like, it seems like it's anti-Grizzlies, you know, in order to help Zion get in. But maybe what they could do if they do that, what you're talking about, the other teams, while they're waiting for these juggernauts to get their place to lose in the first round to get over with, the other teams could play each other and perhaps some exhibition games just to kind of get their flow right, you know. But it's like, why are we fighting for the 7th and 8th seed? You know what I mean? Like,
and you know,
such a big deal for the 7th and 8th place teams to have
right.
The 9th, 10th, 11th place team, like. You know what it tells me? Each game means something, and you should have taken it seriously when you had a chance. You know, like, now all of a sudden you want a life raft?
Yeah.
Just go to 16, and let's go to Orlando and get it over with.
And I understand Mark Cuban being bent out of shape, too, because, like, he's like, I don't want to play. Like, why do I got to play in a play-in tournament? I'm, like, way better than the Memphis Grizzlies this year, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, somebody's going to be mad. There's no easy way. But less is more. 16 is best. I'm sorry if that hurts the Pelicans' feelings and Sacramento's feelings and, you know, Portland. But let's cut to the chase, man. Let's cut to the chase.
I'm with you, man.
I mean,
hey.
And then if you bring 30 teams, like, it's a long way and a lot of people and a lot more health risk just to get some games that mean nothing in. Let's go to 16, George, and move on. I know I'm beating a dead horse, but
I'm with you.
About people being healthy and not getting sick and giving everybody a shot at losing to the Lakers or the Bucks or the Clippers in the first round. Yay. You know, like, I don't know. I know it means a lot to some teams. It'll mean a lot to the Pelicans to get in, sure. It'd mean a tremendous amount to the Sacramento Kings to be in this playoffs. Tremendous amount, but under these situations, man, let's get it done.
Mark Spears, he is the man. Check out his columnist work at the Undefeated, NBA Insider as well, a friend of the program. Hey, man, stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk soon, okay? Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, right. Meanwhile, COVID, right?
Yeah. Apparently we're at halftime of COVID, it seems like, or whatever.
Jesus Christ. Love you, brother.
All right, brother. Love you, too. Be good. There he is, Mark Spears, Undefeated. Check out his work at undefeated.com, his columnist work. Great conversation with Devin George and great conversation with Steven Jackson and, of course, NBA Insider for ESPN. All right. I swear we'll get to baseball. I swear. We're going to get all this like negotiating stuff out of the way here. We're going to do it. We'll be back in 90 seconds. Thanks to Mark Spears for joining us. Thanks to Michael Collins for joining us early. If you miss any part of the show, including yesterday's tremendous show, too, you should subscribe to the podcast on ESPN, on the ESPN app or on Apple Podcasts, Google, wherever you find your podcast. We want to thank our frontline workers because, yes, COVID-19 is not over. It is very much still here. 105,000 people have died. And, we want to salute all our frontline workers, people in the medical community who help us each and every day, who have helped us get through this. So if you know someone working as a frontline worker, healthcare provider, email us at ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. Any frontline worker, healthcare worker, first and last name, city and occupation. Again, the email address, is ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. Or you can post a short video on Instagram or Twitter using the hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift, which includes $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, $100 gift card to Wingstop, VS Liquor, and Shooteria.com. So that's Thank You Thursdays. So Greg Bergman, Major League Baseball, has gone to a counter proposal. So when we last left you on the days of our lives of Major League Baseball, over the weekend, the players decided, hey, man, we want our half salaries, okay? We want our half salaries. We want 82-game salary, but we're willing to play up to 114 games. How about them apples, okay? And the owners are like, nah. Not good, because the owners, for lack of a better term, feel like because they're not going to get gate revenue, that the more games they play, the less money they'll actually make, which is not wrong, but it is also kind of short-sighted from a game perspective. Like, if you're going to have a chance to grow the game, okay, you probably should get started soon and play a lot of games. Right? Like, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I do think that that would be it. Now, however, the owners have countered with bringing up another potential option as a last resort. Let's play 50 games, but at the player's full prorated salary. Now, that doesn't mean they're getting paid for 82 games or whatever it is, or 81 games. They're getting paid for the actual 50 games, which is about 30% of their actual salaries. So the players want half their salary and more games. The owners want less games and the exact percentage of salary. My guess is they'll meet somewhere in the middle, but I don't know. Like, I don't know why the owners continually just... Like, I don't understand why you don't want more games. I get the losing of the money, but God, shouldn't you put your product out there at a time when there's no product out there?
Yeah, that's probably what they should do. And it's insane. At this point, everyone needs to get together and just come to the middle. And it's going to end up being something like 82 games where they're going to get their prorated salary. I mean, that's just kind of where it's leading to. So, but what the owners are doing is just, it's too much. Like, you just... what you're doing, like you're saying, is that there's nothing else out there. Just put your product on TV, and it's still too much about money. I mean, you're seeing teams like the Washington Nationals, they're cutting minor league baseball players' salaries by $100. Overall, that doesn't mean much to them, in to the owners, but to the minor league baseball players, that $100.
That's a lot of money, yes.
It's a huge amount of money for them, yeah, where guys like Sean Doolittle are now coming out and saying that they're going to make up that money for the minor league baseball players.
Good.
Which is fantastic.
Right. Just like David Price did, right.
Correct, exactly. But why is, I mean, how much money? They're billion-dollar owners. Billions and billions of dollars. I know they're not going to make a lot of money this year. But the fact of the matter is, they can afford it. And it's all, and right now, like you're saying, you'll grow the sport. The sport will actually be seen on TV because there's nothing else on TV.
It's so short-sighted because, yes, awful. You can lose money this year and you can write that off. But if you grow the game, you're going to find yourself in a better spot moving forward, which means your team that you own worth billions of dollars is going to be worth more money than it is at the moment. But if you end up not playing a season and this thing gets screwed over money, people are going to be pissed off. And by the way, then the value of your franchise will drop. So that doesn't help anyone.
No, and you're talking about short-sighted. You're coming off of a tremendous – the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox scandal was a tremendous hit to the game of baseball. And to get everybody back, to get people back, now is that time to do that. So to be haggling over money with the players is the wrong look.
Yeah, it just seems so stupid. Like, I don't understand it. I will never understand it. It really is just mind-boggling to me. But look, that's kind of the world we live in, right? Sometimes the, you know, people are short-sighted. And baseball, let's face it, hasn't been at the forefront of, you know, of evolving very much. I know they've made some steps in the last 20 years, but I don't look at that group as saying, like, woof, yeah, they're innovators right there all the time. Like, they've struck gold a few times, but it's not like it's the overwhelming majority, right? Like, say what you want about the NFL. I know people, you know, clearly they love it because they watch it, but like, not everyone loves the way the league handles stuff, including myself. But more times than not, they've done a really good job growing the game. I mean, baseball, when I was a kid, okay, I was a little kid in the 80s, was America's pastime. That hasn't been the case in easily, what, 15, 20 years? Easily, okay? And I may be kind when I say that stuff. So baseball, taking this kind of approach, just seems dumb and short-sighted. For people who are really smart and make a lot of money, it's weird to me how owners who make a lot of money in other industries, right, don't understand that owning a sports team and the business of sports is completely different than whatever business it is they got into, whether that's real estate or oil or wherever they made their riches. It's not the same. It's not. Listen, man, if you have a real estate empire, okay, there ain't dudes sitting there every day writing about your real estate empire. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, occasionally something gets written about something you built, but it's not criticized. It's not analyzed, not hyper-analyzed the same way. So these guys, they try to treat it the same, and that's the big mistake they make. And baseball is as guilty as any sport when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah, we just watched a documentary from Michael Jordan about how Jerry Krause thought that the overall team was bigger than the players.
The organization, right, yeah, is what mattered most. Yes,
right. And now you have in baseball, you have 30 owners that are all Jerry Krauses and think that that their organization is bigger than the game itself. And it's just not the way that it is. And we need baseball back and just get to the table and just figure it out at this point, please.
Yeah, even the salary deferral. You know, the players wanted that, and the owners thought that was a non-starter. Like, they're like, okay, how about you just give us some of the money later when the revenue comes in? And they're like, nah, not doing that. Look, I think they're going to get something done. Like, look, after all this hemming and hawing we just did for the last, you know, 8 minutes or whatever it's been, I still think it's going to get done. But it just feels so unnecessary to go through all of this, you know? Like, it just does. In light of all of this now, you know? I mean, especially during the pandemic and 40 million people unemployed and people literally revolting on the streets. I mean, that doesn't make it any better either. So, oh, go ahead. You were going to say something. I'm sorry.
No, no, no. I was going to agree with you. That was it. I was just going to agree with you.
Dynamite drop in money. Broadcast schools really paid off.
I just want baseball back. I just want that. You're right, is all I'm going to say. That right now, that what people need is to get their minds off of, and this has nothing to do with what's happening, you know, with the protests and stuff, but people need to take their minds off of, you know, COVID and just watch a baseball game or a basketball game or whatever it is to kind of get some sense of normalcy back. And the owners are just causing way too much issues in all of this.
For sure. There's no doubt. Speaking of owners not causing or causing too many issues, there are some cases where owners aren't causing enough issues. I'll explain what that means in just a second. Stick around. We're back in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, brought to you as well by our neighborhood Sherman Williams. There's a funny thing about Home Depot. So usually I do that Home Depot read at the end of the segment. However, I really needed to pee. So when I wrapped up our baseball segment there and said, you know, did my tease about owners and, you know, owners needing to do more after not doing enough with baseball, and which I thought was a clever tease, but I needed to run. Laura usually knows that sometimes I'll pause and then do the read, and left me up when I said, hey, I'm going to the bathroom right now. It could have been way worse because I usually drop a few F-bombs and S-bombs. But that didn't happen. But it was pretty hilarious because I heard your voice as I put my headphones down and I came back on and I said, did that just go on the air? And you said, yes. So I thought that was funny. But you know what? We all got to go at some point to the bathroom. All right. That's just the reality of it. So now people just learned occasionally I got to go pee.
Nicely done, George. Nicely done.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Needed a laugh, Matt.
We're all doing this. You know, I'm at home. You know, I needed to go. And that was it. And I forgot about Home Depot. Usually I'm pretty good at just looking up and seeing what reads I have. And I wasn't so good at it right there. But it's okay.
Look, all she was doing was respecting the pause. That's
she was respecting the pause. She was respecting the pause. You must respect the pause. Jim Rome, 20 years ago, made sure that we all respect the pause. made sure that we did that. Rack me. But, yeah. Like, you know, look. We've had a very serious, serious 2 days here on the show, and understandably so. So we usually like to laugh a lot more on this show, and it was good to have a laughing moment. Speaking of which,
it's just it wasn't my expense, by the way.
Yeah, it is at your expense. Speaking of which, yesterday I sent this video, but to Laura because I wanted to play it on the air because it came to my mind, but we didn't play it because it just didn't feel like there was the proper time. I thought the audience yesterday, you guys did such a great job in really just kind of illustrating what was going on in everyone's lives, how you were feeling, and we had great guests. And I had my own thoughts, right? So there wasn't any room for it. But since we finally laughed for once in, you know, the last 2 days, I thought that this Chris Rock stand up, and I guess Mason Ireland played it yesterday. I don't know if they did or didn't, but I just felt like it really kind of drove home the point of my discussion about unity, and this isn't about politics, and it's humanity. And I just feel like anyone can get a laugh out of this. So go ahead, Laura, just play it.
Well, here's the thing, man. Whenever the cops gun down an innocent black man, they always say the same things, man. They always say the same thing. It's like, well, it's not most cops. It's just a few bad apples. It's just a few bad apples. Bad apple. That's a lovely name for murderer. It's like, how'd they get that one? Bad apple. That almost sounds nice. I mean, I've had a bad apple. It was tart, but it didn't choke me out. Here's the thing. I know it's hard being a cop. I know it's hard. I know that it's dangerous. I know it is, okay? But some jobs can't have bad apples. Okay? Some jobs, everybody gotta be good. Like pilots. You know? American Airlines can't be like, you know, most of our pilots like to land. We just got a few bad apples that like to crash in the mountains. Please bear with us.
He's right. And that's why he's brilliant. You know, I'd even extend that to doctors. You ain't going into a surgery and being like, yeah, who's got the commercial that's like that? There is a commercial on television where the guy is sitting in the hospital with his wife and he's about to go into surgery and the doctor comes in and basically admits to him that, oh, yeah, it's good to be back because I got suspended for screwing up my last surgery or something like that. And it's like a funny commercial. I want to say it's an insurance company, but anyway, that's the same point. And I'm sure someone will call in or tweet in what the commercial that I'm thinking of is. That's right. Go ahead, Greg. I'm sorry.
I know. I know what it is. It's like good isn't great. Like you need great for certain things.
Right. I don't know what the product is, but I can remember. I can visualize the entire commercial of the husband and wife. The husband is in the bed. The wife is standing next to him, and the nurses are there. And then in comes the doctor to basically explain that, yeah, he's doing your surgery, and it's been a while. You know what I mean, or something like that. Like, and yeah, that's the point. Listen, man, I have a lot of friends, people close to me that are frontline workers, that are police officers, that are firefighters. Like, I get how dangerous those jobs are. But what I said earlier still stands, man. Don't let someone else write your narrative. We do that in sports all the time. Look, we were talking about it as recently as last season with the Lakers. Right? Why aren't they talking? You know, they need to say something. It's been a miserable season. And the reason we had behind it was, hey, man, you don't want someone else writing your narrative. Now, look, it worked out because they got Anthony Davis. And that writes its narrative on itself. But at the end of the day, you don't want people kind of dictating what people think in general about your line of work. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. It doesn't matter what you do for a living, okay? Lawyers get a bad rap, right? If I were a lawyer, I mean, you could lean into it and kind of have fun with it, but I'd be like, yo, man, there's a lot of good lawyers out there, all right? I'm not going to let the slimy ones, you know, take all the shine away from the people that do good work, right? Like my guy Jacob does great work. He's helping people. But you know what I'm saying? Like that's what I would do. And I'm just saying the same thing for everyone, including law enforcement. Look, man, to serve and protect, right? We just want all to feel that way. And I think that we've seen some videos recently, whether it was the sheriff in Flint, Michigan. I saw one yesterday, or maybe it was this morning, excuse me, about the highest ranking uniformed police officer in New York. You know what I'm saying? Like here in Southern California, like there have been some issues in the last 24 hours with some statements. And all I'm saying is don't let the quote unquote bad apples write the narrative. That's it. Don't let that happen. You shouldn't allow it. I mean, I would take offense to it personally. Listen, you know, there are a lot of people that say a lot of things about me. But you know what? The one thing you know about me, if you've listened to this show, is I'm going to set the record straight. You may not like what comes out of my mouth every day, but I'm going to tell you one thing is it's going to be authentic. And if I don't know something, I'm going to tell you. Earlier today, I was talking about being conflicted when we were talking about the National Football League and their statement, which in essence described everything Colin Kaepernick stood for, except they didn't name Colin Kaepernick. And I'm like, part of me is like, well, it's about time. And the other part of me is like, well, better late than never. It's conflicting. But look, I'll take any step forward right now. Any of it. Any of it. I'll take any step forward. And, you know, I saw George Floyd's family, his brother out there telling people, stop the rioting. And look, stop the looting. And he's right. I don't condone it. But as I said yesterday, I understand it. But here's the problem now, is that people are taking advantage of the situation. Hate groups are taking advantage of the situation. Why? Because it's easy to. Because our white, black, Hispanic, Asian, Pacific Islander brothers and sisters, we're all coming together. As we should. Because this isn't political. It's about humanity. But there are people who are nefarious. And they're utilizing this. And those, if you're a cop, those are the people you got to weed out. And I know it's hard. It's not easy. It's tough work. I get it. And I've seen stories already. A guy in Chicago who was some white supremacist group with some white supremacist group who got busted doing some stuff and had bombs in his car. And trying to hijack a peaceful protest to create havoc and anarchy. And that's not fair. It's not fair because you can blame it on the minorities. And you can blame it on the African-American community. It's not fair. And it's hard. Again, no one said it's not. But I urge you to please, please don't let someone else write your own narrative. Do whatever within your power to make this thing right. And let's start to heal this community and every other damn community in the country. But you need to make sure that the voices feel like they're heard. And it can't just be one day. It can't just be today. It's like Key and I were talking about and LZ and Travis during Crosstalk 2 hours ago. It can't just feel like it's, okay, we're moving on and we'll forget. No, it's got to be a constant conversation. And that needs to happen within the community. And occasionally, you know what? We need to make sure to remind people. I know we're here to talk sports. But we got to remind people when it intersects with sports and take advantage of those situations to let you know we do hear you. And those things are really important. So hopefully today we've done you justice. We've done you a service. We've had people interact. We've had people tell their story the last 2 days. And hopefully we'll continue to do right by our own communities. And listen and empathize and understand and try to unite. That's just the goal, man. I love all of you, man. Like I do. I do. There's not a hatred, a bone in my body that is about hatred. I love everybody. I want to love everybody. We got to love each other. We got to show each other that love and that understanding and that respect. And that's it. And real quick before I get out of here, listen to my friend Mina Kimes in the ESPN Daily, presented by Marathon. You guys have a great day. We love you. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. See you.